Welcome back to the Godly Young Men Podcast. This is episode 157. As usual, we'll start by saying like, rate, review the podcast, of course, YouTube, Spotify. Join our Discord. The link is in the description below. Be a part of the community. It's been fun. We've been doing this, and we're in our fourth year of the Godly Young Men Podcast and being able to start an online community. And you can ask questions and maybe even give us episode ideas. It's all within that Discord, so click the link in the description to join. We'll send you a link to access that Discord. Check out our merch as well. That's in the description. But Joe, let's get to the topic today. Yep. This is an idea that Joe brought to the table. I'm really excited to cover it. We're talking about the idea of how do you navigate big life mistakes. It's going to be kind of one of those episodes where we talk practically about how do you handle it when you have just made a mistake that you think there's no recovery from. You know, we're not talking, and we'll get to it, but we're not talking about like little things here or there. Obviously, we're all going to make little mistakes in life, but we're talking about, in a way, life-altering mistakes. And so, Joe, what other thoughts do you have as we kind of introduce this topic?
Yeah, we've had a couple people reach out to us through Facebook, Instagram, things like that, just with questions. What do I do in this situation? And, you know, we are not here to judge. We're not here to say, wow, that's terrible, anything like that. But there is a way to handle certain big life situations, certain big mistakes that, you know, what you find is not all mistakes are created equal. At the end of the day, some mistakes are more recoverable. You can get back. You can, you know, make amends or say sorry, and it basically all goes back. All is forgiven. And all goes back to normal.
Some stick with you.
Some stick with you. Sometimes the consequences are very severe. Sometimes for years, those can last, even decades. Some of those can last. And so,
and just a note on this real fast. This is where you got to be really careful with. This is kind of a different topic, but it's very tangentially related, in my opinion. This is where you got to be really careful with the whole, well, all sin is sin in the eyes of God.
Right, right.
Right? Well, you know, a lie is just as bad as being a homosexual. In the way that it, you know, appears to God, in the way that it separates you from God, in the way that it leaves a mark on your record if you're somebody who's not a Christian that you need to be cleansed from, in that way, yes, it is the same.
Sure.
But in every other way, telling a lie and being a homosexual, there's nothing similar.
Right.
It is, you know, it's such a broad, painting with a broad brush to say, well, all sin is in the eyes of God, or even, you know, having sex outside of marriage or, you know, something like that. There is a world of difference in the consequences of, again, telling a lie, which is bad, you shouldn't do that mistake, versus having sex outside of marriage or, you know, doing performing homosexual activities or whatever it is. Enormous difference in consequences. And so it can be very, I would say, you know, kind of in to get to give that line like, well, all sin is in the eyes of God, it's all the same. It's not really. In terms of consequences, it's just not. And that kind of ties into this topic of the mistakes. We all make mistakes. They're not all created equal. Some are weighted way more heavily than others.
Well, and I think that's kind of a push to make sure we don't stigmatize the person. We don't, you know, we don't ostracize them and push them outside the group. Like, no, we all make mistakes. And there's a time and place for that. One of the things we're going to get into in terms of advice is taking responsibility and ownership for the severity of the consequences.
Yeah.
Like we got to realize that, yes, there are certain things, even prospects with wives. Yeah, you know, if you have a huge past of sleeping with 60 girls, your prospects may not be the same as if, you know, we just got to be aware of those things. We're not saying that you can't come back to Christ. We're not saying that he's not going to forgive you. We're not saying any of those things, but there are consequences.
Like, you know, you tell your significant other, you know, I told a few lies here and there versus, yeah, I slept with 12 girls. Like, one of those is going to cause a significant heavier consequence on whether or not you guys end up together than the other. And that's just how life works.
Right. So the first thing we'd say is avoid them if at all possible. If you're young listening to this and you have not, avoid those because, yeah, the consequences are severe. That goes without saying. What we're talking about, we assume that maybe you've made some of these, right? For those that have made those mistakes, or if you do end up making some of these mistakes.
That's what I say. Is I say this episode will be hopefully valuable to both sides. Number one, kind of help you, you know, see where to stay, what to stay out of, what to avoid, and maybe have you more prepared to either talk to others or if you do have to make the mistake. But then also, yeah, for those that maybe already have made some of these, hopefully this episode will be helpful.
Well, and I would say a lot of our episodes are about the avoidance of these things, right?
Yeah.
Making sure we're setting ourselves up for success. We live in the real world. Now, admittedly, Will and I, you know, full transparency, I made some mistakes, no doubt, talked about it before, fornication, things like that, pornography, addiction. I don't think you made near as many of the mistakes as I made. Neither of those mistakes completely set me back for life, you know, or have maimed me or have resulted in
Joe's,
you know,
got on the outline. We were pretty sheltered kids growing up.
We were pretty sheltered. Like, we didn't get into heavy drugs. We didn't get into, you know, gangs. We didn't get into these things that a lot of people do. And so we're not coming from a place of, you know, again, the goody two-shoes. but we're also not coming from a place that, yeah, we've been there ourselves. Like, we're just saying, especially as a therapist, I've worked with this quite a bit. You work with youth all the time. So you've seen these things. You were a youth minister and youth and family minister, and now obviously at Chick-fil-A, you work with young kids all the time. Sure. So you get to see these mistakes. You get to see how people react. So we're coming from a place of, maybe we haven't been there and made these big mistakes because by the grace of God, we avoided some of these mistakes. On the other hand, we still feel like what we have to say is relevant. What, you know, us working with the youth, the things that we've done, these are the mistakes, or these are the advice, the pieces of advice that we might give ourselves, or that we might give others, whoever makes these big mistakes. But, well, I did want to discuss, as we keep using big mistakes.
What are we talking about?
So let's flesh that out for a second. What are we talking about? I would say getting a girl pregnant out of wedlock.
That's a big one.
And I would, even as I was writing the outline, like, you may have those, it's my child's not a mistake. Like, no, the child is not a mistake.
But the decision was.
Yes, the decision absolutely was. I think we can call that out. We're not going to mince words and be like, oh, you know, that's the way it's supposed to go. Like, it's absolutely not. That's not the way that God intended things. That can be a major mistake. The child is a blessing. In no way do we look down on the kid. It's certainly not the kid's fault. But yes, that has consequences. We talk about the consequences for decades. You starting your life and getting a girl pregnant at 17, 18 years old is way different than you being in a, you know, loving marriage that you are ready to start. It is a big mistake.
Well, even apart from the sin part, which obviously is what makes it a huge mistake, it's not God's design, you're not supposed to be engaging in that activity. Aside from that, why can this be a big mistake? You think about how much a big deal is made about inflation and the economy and how expensive everything is. You did just make your life, unless you're planning on being a neurosurgeon or something, you did just make your life for the next several years a whole lot harder, because odds are you probably got her pregnant, again, as you said, 18, 19, like well before you're ready for marriage. And so now you're trying to figure out, maybe A, do I marry this girl? B, how are we going to take care of this child? Like, I'm no longer a, you know, high schooler worried about what movie's coming out Friday. I've got a child to, you know, care for, take care of, disciple into Christ, hopefully, if you're a godly young man. And so, again, to Joe's point, the child is not the mistake. It's, I just made a decision, and I just made a mistake by engaging in this activity that is going to set me back a little bit. Maybe it's financially. Maybe you had plans to go to medical school to be a neurosurgeon, and that's out the window now. Maybe
it does alter your life.
It does really alter your life. And so this is one of those that, again, for the very reason that it's a sin in the eyes of God, we would encourage you not to do it. But even beyond that, man, the real life, and of course, there's great stories about how this happened to a couple. They ended up being, you know, lovingly married with kids and a great family later on. So it's not going to bury you, obviously, but it's a big mistake.
Well, and we're going to get into this in advice. Like, God can redeem your mistakes. Absolutely. There's grace, and He can take the worst things that you've done and make it into something that glorifies Him in the end, because He's God.
But for every example of the young couple that works it out together, gets married, and has a loving family, there's another several examples of, you don't really see your kid all that much. Your kid doesn't grow up without a dad. You don't end up marrying the girl. And it's just, you've put that child into a situation where they're going to have a broken family for the rest of their life.
And let me say this as well. There's two wrongs don't make a right. Don't double down on the mistake. If it's not the right girl, I need to marry her because that's what I'm supposed to do. That, a lot of people, that's another big mistake. You get married to a girl that, no, you shouldn't have slept with. You already realized that. Yes, she's pregnant. You're going to have a kid with her. And so sometimes the logical thought, and a lot of people in the church will push you, just go marry her. You need to get married. And then you're stuck in a marriage for the next 50, 60, 70 years, or you get divorced after 2 years because you realize that's not the one. And that's also
a mistake. Yeah.
Correct. That's also on this list, is getting married and divorced at a young age as a big mistake. Those things happen as well. Sometimes you get married, things did not go as you planned. Sometimes you really weren't ready. Sometimes you felt you were ready. Maybe she wasn't ready. Maybe things go off the rails. But the divorce at a young age puts you at such a disadvantage. And so I'm not trying to double down if that's something that you as a godly man, if you've experienced that, my heart goes out to you because I know how difficult that those things can be and seeing people navigate that. But two wrongs don't make a right. So if the pregnancy is there, I think marrying her, same thing as pushing for the abortion. Let's get out of the consequences. That also, you see this, and hopefully that's not the case, but some guys, they freak out. Yeah. Right, they freak out and they go, man, we're not ready for a kid. And so they can push toward that. Accept the consequences, you know, accept the fact that this is a part of life.
Let's zero in on it's the last one on our list, but we'll go ahead and cover it, the getting married and divorced at a young age. Biblically speaking, we believe that you know, that the Bible teaches you are not authorized to then get remarried. And so let's say you get married at 20, divorced by 23, you've got now 50 more years of life where, biblically speaking, you're not authorized to marry anybody else. Man, that is it. Not to mention the emotional, you know, heartbreak and scars and just difficulty that comes with all that. you've got 50 more years where you are going to be, if you're planning on following what God says, staring down the barrel of, you know, not having a wife, not really having a family, celibacy, and, you know, being on your own, that's a really horrible consequence of making that mistake of just rushing into marriage, marrying the wrong person, and then, well, let's just get divorced because it didn't work out 2 years later. This is a bad one as well.
Right, right. And depends on whether you believe in the exception clause or not. You know, if there was infidelity involved, something along those lines, some people think you can get remarried from that.
Different topic for another day.
Completely different topic. We're certainly not getting into marriage divorce and remarriage right now. But the whole point is that is something that we're going to get to the advice. So we're just laying out what just we think the bad mistakes are. Here, yeah. We're going to get to the advice of what to do in some of these situations. But the other one would be getting in trouble, or another one, I should say. We got several on the list. We're getting in trouble with the law.
Like significant trouble.
Yeah, significant trouble. You know, it's... Yes, there's the DUI, something like that. That's not good. You're in jail for a day or two. There's also those where you go out and you make a, like, there's bad crimes and you're in jail for a long time. Those things, either one of those go on your record. I think either one we could say classify as a bad mistake. But definitely there are some that land you in jail, land you in prison.
If you end up with a mugshot, that's a problem.
Correct. And doesn't mean you're not redeemable. Doesn't mean you can't do great things for God. There's plenty of people doing amazing things for the gospel. But we can still classify this as a big mistake, a big light mistake of any time that you have a rap sheet, you know, any time that
you go to apply for a job.
Yeah, you go to apply like for that, a job and you have this criminal background. Once again, part of this episode is avoid that at all costs. Avoid that like the plague, because these do have reverberating consequences. You don't know if your dream job, the neurosurgeon, whatever it is, you don't know that by the time you get there, it's like, man, we saw your background. And they do a background check. Of course they do. And if they see that, you may cost yourself a lot of opportunities. And for those that have made the big mistakes, they may have already experienced these things.
Yeah, I mean, you see athletes who it all goes up in flames when they just make a decision, get in a car, drive too fast, or, you know, do something, you know, domestic violence, something like that. Really, really big mistakes. Their career goes up in flames. Yep. This, you know, would be an example. Obviously, we're probably not talking about professional athletes here, but you get the point of, like, this can really, really alter it. To kind of number four on our list, kind of go back to kind of the premarital sex angle, getting an STD just because you're sleeping around with however many people. I mean, I'm sure you can speak to that as far as your clients going, your therapy and maybe some of the damage that you've seen from that. But man, yeah, you're 19, 20, 21 years old and you now have an STD because you couldn't control yourself. You've kind of, again, staring down the barrel of some tough conversations, maybe a life of celibacy, all kind of stuff.
There's a bit of a scarlet letter on you for sure, and I shouldn't say a bit. There is a scarlet letter because you now have to go tell every girl, and if you don't, that's even worse. You know, any girl that you're considering for marriage, like, yeah, you have to tell her those things. It's part of the consequences. These are natural things that yes, you're going to have to deal with if you end up getting an STD. So once again, avoid it as much as you can. Another, we'll get through this and get to the advice. We have flunking out of school, getting expelled. That one may not be quite as severe. It's still a bad one. If you get kicked out of college and that, once again, kind of goes on your record, even getting evicted from an apartment because you're being dumb, whatever it is, you know, and that also goes, anything where it's going to go on your record, which is, yes, getting in trouble with the law, yes, getting kicked out of school, yes, you know, getting kicked out of an apartment, an eviction notice, whatever it is, all of those things are going to go on your record where people can absolutely pull that up. Even crashing your credit score and being at a 400 because you never pay
taking
your bills.
On so much debt.
Yeah, you know. You're taking on a ton of debt. You're now $100,000 in debt. Your credit score is at 400. Like, those are big mistakes that are going to take years to overcome. Years of effort to try to get back. I added just very briefly addictions, getting involved with drugs, getting involved with drinking. I was a porn addict. That's obviously bad. That certainly can wreck your life. It wrecks a lot of people's lives as I work with. The drinking and the drugs, because of the substance-based addiction, a lot of times you end up doing things while high.
Others are involved.
Correct. While others are involved, while high or drunk or whatever, that those have major life consequences. So, like, serious addictions. And then, of course, getting involved with the wrong people, getting involved with, like, gangs at a young age. That's a very common thing for young guys that don't have a family and that are looking for, especially coming from certain parts of town, whatever, that are looking for camaraderie. They're looking for family. They're looking for a father figure. Gangs can really bring that in. Then you end up doing horrible things. I've worked with members in gangs that, you know, they want to get out. It's not that simple. You don't get out. It's actually weird that these are younger kids that were just getting into it. I think gang members aren't usually going to therapy. So younger kids that are just getting involved. I worked with a couple of those, especially when I was working in juvie and things like that. And it's very interesting how they pull you in, but yes, you end up making some mistakes that, I mean, I worked with one that he almost got shot. His buddy got shot right next to him. And, like, serious trauma because he was about this close from being dead. and he was robbing a place and jumping a fence, and one got shot from another. It was gang violence. And, you know, these things take place. And that's forever going to be in his mind as he's, you know, running, because you don't stop. Like, you're going to get shot next. It was a very traumatic situation. And big mistakes, man. Big mistakes, because he got in with the wrong people. And so these are the things, just the list, so we can go over one more time. Getting a girl pregnant out of wedlock, getting in trouble with the law, sleeping around to get an STD, flunking out of school slash getting expelled, or getting kicked out of an apartment. Addictions, getting involved with the wrong people, like gangs, and getting married and divorced at a young age. I think we may have thrown a couple others in there. But that's when we talk about big life mistakes. If you can avoid these mistakes,
do it.
Avoid them like the plague. On the other hand, as we said, sometimes, you know, this has already taken place.
So, Joe, I know you've been talking for a minute. I was actually, for this advice, going to have you. I think you're better suited to speak to this first one than I can speak to the second one. This is where we're going to come to the part where it's like, okay, let's say you made the mistake. What now? You know, what next? And so some general advice, again, Joe as the licensed therapist on the show here, again, far more suited for most of these things than I am, but I think just from a practical, how do you live with yourself? What's your day-to-day look like? You know, what does your mindset look like? Hopefully these are helpful. So Joe, if you don't mind, you cover the first one and I'll cover the second
one. Sure. First, understand why you made the mistake. It's of course, you know, you got
to
understand
why.
Your why.
I want Joe to cover it.
Yeah, you got to understand your why. And the next one I want you to cover for obvious reasons. So you got to know, why did I make that mistake in the first place? Well, it was just a dumb mistake. You know, we shouldn't have made it as a kid. Okay, but why did you make the mistake? Well, I was just being dumb. That's not the answer. Mm-hmm. Why did you get drawn to gang violence? Why did you get drawn to this woman? Why did you get in trouble with the law? Why did you get the STD and you know, sleep around with a dozen girls? You got to know your why. Yes, I happen to specialize in trauma, so I think a lot of this can go back to trauma of like, people get involved with all sorts of stuff because they have a horrible relationship with their dad, or they have a horrible family life, or, you know, crazy bullying, and they just want to be a part of something that where they're not feeling bullied and they want to feel powerful, or whatever it may be. You got to understand your why as to, how did I make this mistake in the first place? So much of the reason why the why is important is because the context is what allows for the grace. We're going to build on that here. But it's really tough to give yourself or to accept grace from Christ. And as we talk about forgiving ourselves, giving ourselves grace, it's tough to do that if you don't start with understanding the why. Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, it was a real bad mistake. It's like, then how do you know you're not going to make that again? Yeah, well,
exactly,
I don't.
If
you know your why, then you can say, I'm not going to make it because I'm shoring up the reason why I made it in the first place. And that changes everything. It changes the entire trajectory of your life if you can say, this was my problem, here's how I'm fixing it, and this is how I'm getting out of that.
There's a self-reflection element and a solution-minded element to this question. Of example I think of, it's obviously very different, but with the work that I do, there's, you know, certain metrics that we try have to hit, and or, you know, goals that we reach for, and, you know, we just, you know, we're here in early in the year. We just a month ago had our basically 2025 review of all the goals we set at the beginning of the year. How do we do? How close do we come? Do we hit it? Do we not hit it? And let's say we didn't hit a goal, or we didn't hit it, you know, one of the things that we were shooting for. If we don't examine that question of why didn't we hit it, well, guess what? We probably won't do in 2026. Hit that goal that we set for that, right, whatever category that is. If we just, well, we didn't hit it, move on. No, why? What were the reasons why we didn't? What contributed to us maybe falling short? Obviously, you can do this for big wins or for good things as well, but in this specific context of making a mistake, if you just breeze past that why question, the odds that you make a similar type mistake again are pretty high as compared to, you know, actually taking time to reflect, get into why you did, and maybe avoid it in the future.
Or being able to process through shame. You know, getting to the end of it, you got to know, why? I did it because I was really hurting at the time. I made a really bad mistake. This is why I was hurting. I'm in a different place now, but it gives that context to yourself to be able to move on. Because until it's like, well, I just don't know. I don't know why I did it. Like, okay, settle down. Let's talk about it. Let's get to the end. And I help people a lot of times in my therapy. When they understand the why, it's like, as a hurting young kid. You know, I think about the mistakes that I made with pornography and with fornication, things like that. And again, they're big mistakes to me, but I wouldn't put them on this in terms of the reverberating into the future. But they're definitely mistakes you don't want to make. But I think about when I was able to go back and say, why did I make those mistakes? And understanding it, it helped give myself a better understanding of me and of grace and of you know, getting out of the shame and things like that. And that's really important to not stay in that shame. And so, Will, I want you to get into our second piece of advice here, because I think this is right up your alley.
Yeah. So the second thing we got on here is, take ownership and responsibility for those consequences. It is the least manly, masculine thing to do for you to brush aside responsibility, for you to rush to the quick solution as far as an abortion goes. That's the easiest way to not take ownership or accountability or handle any of the consequences for that example. Blaming somebody else or, you know, making yourself the victim. You know, you see guys that will do that and they make a mistake and have to deal with the consequences and they turn into the victim. It's like, how does that work? You're the one that made the decision, right? And so, yeah, take ownership of the decision that you made, of the mistake that you made, and responsibility for whatever consequences come your way. And as we got into with every single one of these examples, there's significant consequences. Getting a girl pregnant outside of wedlock, one of the consequences you got to deal with is figuring out your future now that a child is in the picture. And again, financial obligations, and do you marry the girl? Getting in trouble with the law, what are the consequences of that? We went through all these already. You got to take responsibility for those. You got to take ownership of those and not try to blame somebody else or, you know, again, just brush them aside or, my pet peeve, make yourself the victim. You just don't get that option. When you're the one that chooses to make that decision, you don't get the option to make yourself the victim or to, you know, shove responsibility onto somebody else for the mistakes that you made. That's one of the most manly things you can do, is if you make a mistake, own it, and then accept the consequences. Accept the reality that's going to come from that. Immature guys, boys as compared to men, are the ones that constantly try to shirk responsibility, constantly try to take the easy way out, don't take responsibility. So this is a big one. You make a mistake, it's going to be the hardest part, but you got to take ownership and accept those consequences.
I love how you said that. Because the victim is a big thing of like, oh, you know, the girl just, man, it was her fault. It wasn't her fault. You know, why did you put yourself there? There's this concept in therapy of like the outer, middle, and inner circle. Outer circle behaviors are all the good things. It's the rest of life. It's all the things you're chasing. Middle circle behaviors are like, you're kind of pushing it. It's not necessarily wrong. The middle circle or the inner circle behaviors are all the problems. Mm-hmm. So in addiction work, it'd be like, for my work, looking at pornography and you know, pleasuring yourself and things like that, prostitutes, things like that. That's the inner circle. The middle circle, though, is like cruising that part of town. It's going on Reddit or mindlessly scrolling YouTube. Like, you're not wrong. You're really pushing it. Mm-hmm. This is where we want to take the ownership, is not just the ownership of the inner circle of what you did. Ownership of how did I get there? Again, going kind of the why, but how did I get there? And can I take ownership of that? I never should have been in that relationship with that girl. Okay, that helps you take ownership, but it's also, I was, this is what took place, I'm here now, and I'm going to be the best dad I can be to this young girl, or I'm going to accept that, yes, I'm facing jail time, or yes, I'm on the sex offender registry list, or whatever it may be that's going to stick with me. I need to take ownership of the fact that this did happen to me, and I can rage against it, I can be mad about it, I can hate the world, whatever it may be, even if it's unfair. I know plenty of people actually that are on the registry, as I think about that I would consider pretty unfair. It happened. Can we take ownership of that and just take responsibility and go, I did make some mistakes that put me here. I'm going to own that, even if I don't think it's fair, and that's going to set me up better for life because I'm going to try to make the best of the situation that I have. You have 52 cards. We're not all playing with a 52-card deck. Yeah. Sometimes you lose 20 of your cards in one mistake. Do the best you can do with the 32 cards you have in your deck, and that starts taking responsibility. The third one is be open to receiving grace and stay away from shame. Shaming out of...
Those two kind of coincide, yeah.
They coincide. When you shame out and it's all about like, oh, I made this mistake. Man, I can never forgive myself for this mistake. You need to be able to process through, once again, why did you make the mistake? How did you go about changing the mistake? And what are you going to do in the future? But also, can I receive the grace of Christ? God freely offers grace, and it's not based off of, well, if I'm a decade removed from the mistake, now I get... It doesn't work that way. God is freely offering grace, and what you'll find is you're the one standing in the way of accepting His grace. Mm. You have a higher standard than God does. God is willing to give you grace. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's willing to extend that offer. As long as we believe in Him, we have faith in Him, we come to Him, we repent, right? And we're the ones that are like, well, no, I'm just not deserving. So I'll often ask people, when do you think you'd be deserving of grace? I don't know. I don't know that I ever will be. Okay, well, that's not an answer. Like, when, what would tangibly have to happen to get to that point? If that's your answer, it means you're living in shame. We have to be open to receiving grace. We got to be willing to, you know, even if it helps to journal through these things, process through these things, you know, ask for God to come in and help you receive the grace that He's freely offering.
This is one of those things we've talked in this episode a lot negatively about. Again, like, it's just kind of a negative topic, right? We've kind of zeroed in on that. This is an enormous positive and something that I would encourage you, especially if you've made this one of these mistakes or multiple, to take away from this episode, is that God has grace for literally everything. You know, you think about the passage in 1 Corinthians 6, right, where Paul says, he lists all these sins, and he says, such were some of you. And he says, you were washed, you were sanctified. These are horrible behaviors. Homosexuals is on the list, right? awful sins in the sight of God. And Paul says, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were that, you're no longer that. We can get in our own heads sometimes about mistakes that we make, and you know, there's no grace, or as you said, I got to earn my way out of it. And each day that goes by, the grace goes up a little bit. Not how it works. And so again, this is an enormous positive, is that God has already offered you that grace. You got, you know, what do you, are you going to accept it? Are you going, or are you going to constantly guilt yourself, constantly shame yourself? And that's, you know, grace in our, I struggle in day-to-day life, you know, with this idea of grace. I'm not the most compassionate person in the world. I don't give people a lot of grace all the time, and I need to get better at that, because God has given me a ton of grace. Obviously, it's a very different context than what we're talking about. But my point is, like, some, you might be like me and kind of struggle with that idea of grace. Like, no, don't I have to show that I'm productive, or don't I have to show that I'm doing good enough, or that I, you know, that I make all the right decisions, or whatever. Oh, I've made my big mistake. I can never make a big mistake ever again. Otherwise, it's not really how it works. And so be open to receiving that grace. Any other thoughts on that?
The only other thing I'll say is part of God's grace is using your story for His glory.
Sure.
Yeah. That happens a lot. You got to be open to letting God use that. And the more we can get away from shame and just accept, take responsibility and accept, God is going to work in this, and God takes the very worst parts of us and He turns them into gold, because that's part of His grace. Yeah. That's the goodness of Him. The only other thing I'd say actually is don't get bogged down when other people judge you, when other people disrespect you.
Because it will happen.
It will happen. That's part of taking ownership. You're absolutely right.
That's part of the consequences, unfortunately.
Correct. Like, exactly. And you own it and you go, absolutely, I did do those things. That's who I was. And I did some really, really bad things. You're absolutely right. Instead of, you got to defend yourself, defend your honor.
I'm the victim.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm the victim. Like, I did do those things. I will take responsibility for that. Don't shame out. Don't be the victim. Don't do any of those things. Just stand up and take it, because grace has been freely offered to you, and they're not the person you have to stand in front of and give an account for your actions. That's the great. God of the universe is, and He's the one freely offering grace, and remember that.
Yeah, that's great. Number four, yep. We'll race through these last two. As far as piece of advice, embrace the future with courage. Embrace the future with courage. You say, well, that's easier said than done. I get it. It is. Oh, yeah. Like, it's very easy for us to say. But you think about some of those challenges that may come up. You think about what the future holds, depending on what decision was made, or what mistake, I should say, was made. Maybe it's, you got to stay celibate for the next 40, 50 years of your life. You gotta be ready for that. You got to embrace that future and make the most of it. Maybe it's raising the child. Maybe it's maybe you do firmly believe this is the right girl for you, and so you do decide to marry her, but you're really young. You're 19, or you know, you're 18, however old you two are, and you get married. There's a future ahead of you. Embrace it with courage. And so once again, this is one of those things that you are correct in saying that's way easier said than done. I get it. But there have been a lot of people who make a mistake like we're talking about, and even though it doesn't seem like it, their future actually ends up incredibly bright.
Yeah.
Because they faced it with courage, they took ownership, did all these things we're talking about, and they can look back 30, 40 years later, they still have a story to tell, maybe in a negative way, they still might be looked at, they still might have everyday consequences to deal with, but they're embracing the future with courage.
Absolutely. It's the posture of acceptance, you know, open palms, like, I'm just going to accept whatever comes my way, I'm going to accept the consequence, I'm going to accept the whatever the future looks like. I got to raise the child. You know, I'm going to accept that. I'm going to embrace that. And as I said, meet it with courage, or as Will said, meet the future with courage, because this is where God has you, and God's going to use you. Pray that God's going to use you for His glory. And whatever that may look like, the sooner you embrace it, the sooner you accept that this is the fact, the easier it is going to be to move on and to create the future that you actually want. The more we push against it of, man, I hate this, and I don't want that, and I can't believe this happened, the more we're in a position, and again, easier said than done, as you said perfectly, like, we get that, but that's going to delay the process. The last one we have on here, I think this is really, really important.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Pursue healthy relationships of all kinds and build your support system. With the young, with the old, not just with your buddies, pursue those too, with your family if you can at all, you know, at any point. With older members of the congregation, pursue all kinds of relationships. And I would challenge you, engage in those relationships, build your support system, because the love that you can get from the brethren, the church is intended to help us bear these burdens.
Yeah.
Even the mistakes we made, that's the beauty of the church, the beauty of grace, is God is freely offering church, you know, church members for us to let them carry our burdens, right? And that's what Galatians 6:1 talks about. And, you know, bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Let them help you bear this burden. A support system is key when it comes to getting through some of these things and dealing with the consequences going forward.
There's an interesting maybe discussion or debate we can have at some point on the whole it takes a village mentality with your kids. Some people strongly disagree with that, and some people would say, no, it absolutely does take a village. Where I think that phrase probably does have some truth is certainly within the realm of community.
Yeah.
God designed us to, it's not good for man to be alone. God designed us with community in mind, with relationships in mind. So when I think of that phrase, it takes a village, that's kind of where my mind went with this, is like, build your support system. If you've made a mistake like this, you're going to need to be pulled up. You're going to need some support. You're going to need people there to encourage you and, again, build you back up and bring you back up. That will take a village. And so I would encourage you to, as Joe already very well said, pursue those relationships, build that support system, find people who you have a common worldview with, who you can be open, you can be vulnerable, a buzzword, vulnerable, right? But you can be vulnerable with them, share how you're feeling, accountability groups, check in with people, whatever it may be. That's one of the beauties of the church. One of the wonderful things that God designed about the church is, once again, we have that community, we have that family. Maybe it's your in-laws, it's your parents, it's your siblings, you kind of grow closer. Whatever it is, there's so many outlets. I would encourage you, don't turtle, don't go into be a hermit, don't turn into, well, I'll just do this life by myself mentality. It's not the way we were designed. And so this one's really important.
That's a great wrap. Part of that vulnerability, you got to be willing to own your story and be willing to tell other people about it. That's a big part of the healthy relationships. And
people will respect you more for your authenticity in that.
Correct. So Will did a great wrap. I was just going to add that last little part, but we hope this has helped. We know our heart goes out to you. Again, don't let people judge you for the mistakes. We all make mistakes. Yes, some mistakes are bigger than others, but we've all made mistakes along the way. The consequences of your mistakes may be severe, and you may be dealing with those right now. And again, our heart goes out to you, but also keep your head up. There's grace for that. The future may not be everything that you want it to be. There's still a lot of good things to thank God for and to get up every single day and to keep putting one foot in front of the other as much as possible. Look for the small little moments in life that make a difference, that help you feel, you know, help you feel worthy and help you feel loved by God and loved by others. And so keep pursuing the best, keep striving for greatness as much as you can, wherever that may be, whether you're playing with 52 cards in the deck, 32 cards in the deck, or 12 cards in the deck. Do the best you can do with what you've been given. I think that's very biblical, with the idea of the talents. Some are given more than others, and sometimes we lose some of those based off of our mistakes. There's grace for that. And so we didn't speak to everyone individually, every individual issue as much as these are blanket piece of advice that we hope have helped. If you have more, share with us. Comment underneath. If you have questions, get a hold of us, Facebook or Instagram or YouTube, or get on the Discord and let us know. But any other thoughts?
No, sir.
All right. Well, this has been episode 157 of the Godly Amen podcast. We will be back next week. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you again soon.